So as I was preparing today, I was really battling. You can ask my wife this. As I got up this morning, if I should go ahead and put on the suit or if I should go ahead and wear a camp T-shirt. So I promised that I'm going to put on the shirt after the service, but you have the Calvin shirt. But how to do justice and really try to portray Calvin in just the 20 minutes that I have. But when I thought about Calvin, I thought about its impact on kids and how kids sometimes are the blame for a lot of things. Matter of fact, this generation is usually called the godless generation. And sometimes it's hard as a student, as I'm doing youth ministries, to see students be labeled as the godless generation. So as I was researching what I'm going to talk to you today about, if you have your Bibles with you, we're going to be in Colossians. We're going to talk a little bit about the Colossians and the church in Colossae, right? Colossae. Terry got my back. But as I was researching today, I ran across this video.
So to get right to the point today, I got a little game that I'd like for you all to play. It's called, How Many Teenagers Do You Know That Are Actively Pursuing a Life with God? For most of us, that game doesn't last very long. Like a banging on a gong, the preachers say, what's wrong with kids today? And the song goes on and on and on. But the song being sung is partly true. We're surrounded by a generation who, for the most part, would rather smoke a joint than sit in a pew. And to be honest, I'm really tired of placing all the blame on them, so I'm here to suggest that perhaps part of the problem, church, is you. Please hear me out. You see, teenagers today, and people, for that matter, would rather live by their own luck, because they see the religious system as just way too stuck. And if you heard me say that I read my Bible every day, you'd be like, what the fudge? Doesn't that mean you're quick to judge, never budge, and just a plain old schmuck? And if this is the perception that we're so full of pride, then perhaps it's time we took a look inside and tried to reclaim the part of Jesus that some of us have lost. The one who partied with sinners, touched the lepers, loved the children, and who paid the highest cost. Have you ever considered just how many parties Jesus went to in the Gospels? If someone wanted to throw a party today, church, I'm not sure that they would hire us. People don't want to gather around Jesus anymore. They gather around Lady Gaga and Miley Cyrus. And I'm not here to bash secular music either. I'm tired of that. And plus, I like some of those songs. I'm here to suggest, church, that we also might be in the wrong. Please hear me out. You see, it's clear in the lives of the next generation, the church rarely plays a part. And maybe that's because some of the messages in TV and film and radio are a little bit more from the heart. The church shouldn't be this billboard of propaganda, a list of shoulds and should nots. It should be a living, breathing art piece where people see us and they say, I want what they've got. When did the movement of Jesus lose its authenticity and require its members to climb to some spiritual peak? Because if only the strong survive, then how come his power is perfect when we're weak? Now please hear me. I know some churches do this right, and I'm not trying to start a fight. I'm here to suggest that we might just be as blind as those to whom we're trying to give sight. We as the church need to wisen up, because the next generation is rising up and they're finding their prize in the things of this world, because in their eyes we haven't given them a better option. Running away from the church like a toxin, because some of us are locked into a system of judgment and dismay. Hate you if you're struggling, different or gay. Why would anyone want to stay when they're just viewed as a project on which we can project a list of rules? And the more we try and protect the children in this way, the more we reject what God is trying to project through them. And that is his project of authentic love. Please hear me out. You've made it this far. I'm not trying to be harsh, and I'm not trying to be condemning to either side. I'm suggesting that instead of forcing people onto some religious journey, let's just invite them along for the ride. Let's look to share before we look to teach, and maybe let's put a little more care into what we preach. Let us make faith in Jesus a little more attractive. And by that, I'm not talking about hip or cool. I'm talking about interactive. Because you can never underestimate the power of someone who truly cares and who dares to be the one person who will listen when no one else will. This is the kind of love that I believe Jesus was talking about. That authentic love that spurs us to a life that people can't help but be attracted to. Church, let us begin to live in that love. And let us stop blaming the younger generation for every problem in the world and instead come alongside them and invite them on an adventure that Jesus said would bring even greater things yet to come. This is authentic love.
Pray with me if you would. God, you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus on our behalf. Lord, we pray that you bless this time we have together, that you breathe your breath on this message, and Lord, that it's your words, not mine, that is spoken to the hearts of this congregation. Lord, I pray that you open up the hearts, the souls, the mind of the people today. Lord, usher in your Holy Spirit that we may be blessed in everything we receive in this hour. And it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. I want to start off today's message with a question. Where are your roots? Where are your roots? Are you rooted in the world? Are you rooted in addiction to a drug? Addiction to a boy or a girl? Are you addicted to jealousy, hate, envy, or lust? Where are your roots? Today we're going to explore what the Bible has to say about where we should be rooted. So I had you turn it to Colossians 2 today. Colossians 2 verse 6 and 7 is the Camp Cowan's overall theme. I had a great conversation with Rob Ely, and I asked him, hey, why are you picking this Bible verse? And he said, kids have to be rooted. No, not only kids, adults have to find their foundation in Christ. So we turn to Colossians. Colossians 2:6 says this. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live and live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflow with thankfulness. A little background on this letter. This letter was a letter to the church of Colossae. Close. A letter written by Paul to a church he didn't create, to people he didn't know. Matter of fact, this church was started by one of Paul's co-workers named Epaphras. This guy, we're going to call him Ed. This guy visited Paul on a regular basis. Actually, this letter was written while Paul was in jail, and he went to go visit Paul, and he continued to tell them how this church's community was doing, how it was going well. But he also mentioned to them some of the cultural preferences that was tempting them to stray away from Jesus Christ. So Paul wrote this letter to encourage the Colossians and to challenge them to do better, to be devoted to Jesus Christ. So why is this important to today? The church, the Colossians, were tempted by cultural preferences, cultural pressures. See, churches today find themselves compromising their message of Jesus' redemptive love for whatever feels good in the moment, whatever gives them pleasure, whatever joys they can find. See, Paul points out in Colossians 2 that we should be rooted in Jesus, and that Jesus embodies the fulfillment of the Jewish law and brings forth an authentic love, peace, and grace. I like the way that the Message puts it. The Message says, my counsel for you is simple and straightforward. He said, I'm going to get straight to the point. Just go ahead with what you've been given. You received Jesus Christ, the Master. Now live him. Now live him. You're deeply rooted in him. You're well constructed upon him. You know your way around the faith. Now do what you've been taught. Listen to this. He says, school is out. Quit studying the subject and start living it. And let your living spill over into Thanksgiving. Let your living spill over into your Thanksgiving. He says, when you are rooted in Christ and you start living that life in Christ, you will have joy. You will have peace. You have grace. When you take root in Jesus, we become more like Jesus and not easily swayed by the temptations that surround us. No, I didn't say that we're not going to be tempted, because we're going to be tempted daily. I said that we're going to be, it's not going to be easily swayed. We can stand from it. We can say, that's not me. I don't have to do that. We no longer have to let sin become who we are and our identity. Instead, we can find grace and forgiveness in Christ. I also think that this letter sheds some importance to the church body as a whole. See, the fact is, we were never created to handle temptation and sin by ourselves. We were never created to handle sin and temptation by ourselves. We were made to be with one another. And as we come together as people who are following Christ, we become the body of Christ. We are stronger together than we are apart. Touch your neighbor and say, we are stronger together than we are apart. Take it like this. You will find your protection when you're around Christ-like people. Christ-like people. See, the devil waits for an opportunity to separate you from the body of Christ. It's that separation where he does his work. It's that separation that he wants. It kind of reminds me of this picture. It's the separation, because when he gets you separated, he can devour. He picks the weak and he devours that. He wants you to be tempted. He wants you to sin. And he's going to wait until you're alone to attack. So what would happen when we are rooted in Christ? We become more like Christ and we start to bear fruit, right? We become more like Christ and we start to bear fruit. The Bible puts it this way in John 15:5. It says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, my words remain in you. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. In other words, John was saying to be connected to Christ means that you bear fruit. We become the greatest examples of love that this generation, that this society, that this culture has ever seen. Authentic love in Christ. This passage shares a little light on the grace of Jesus, but also shares what happens if you're not connected if you're not with Jesus. Look closely. It says, if you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire. If you're not connected to Christ, you are like a branch. You have no purpose. You bear no fruit. You are far away from Christ. It kind of reminds me of the passage just before, starting in John 15. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You're already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I remain in you. No branch can, listen to this. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. No branch can bear fruit by itself. This passage shares a little bit of light. Just within the first 8 verses of John, we see multiple sets of people. We see those who are not connected to Christ, those who are not rooted. Then we see those who are rooted in Christ but are not bearing fruit. They weren't originally rooted. Guys, this is the hypocrisy in the church. It's those people who can put on a nice suit and say amen in a service, but go out throughout the week and live a totally different life. Are you bearing fruit? What are you rooted in? So where does that put you? Where does that put you, the ones who are rooted themselves in Christ? Check this out. God promised that he will prune you. He will place you in circumstances that you can only lean on him to overcome. You have to lean on him to overcome. Have you ever heard that God will never place more things on you than you can handle? Have you ever heard of that? That's baloney. That's baloney. Listen, God places you in circumstances that you have no other choice but to depend on him. He put things in your way that you have to say, I only can lean on Jesus to get through this situation. I was told when I was younger, yeah, they said, Vaughn, if your dream is not big enough that you can't depend on God, it's not a dream that's worth having. If you can do it by yourself, it's not worth having. And our churches tend to find themselves in places where we want to depend on us. How can we do it instead of depending on how God is going to do it, how God is going to work in this place? Where's your roots? See, God never promised that if you followed him, you will have an easy life. Matter of fact, it will get harder. The temptations will never stop. But with Christ, you can better handle the situation, the temptations, and the sin that's in your life. Take root in Christ and bear fruit of Christ. If you take root in Christ, you'd be the greatest example of love, grace, and peace this world has ever seen. If you take root, you'll be able to walk alongside of a young generation, showing them the light to the path of their temptations, their sins. You can be that living examples to their struggles. If you take root, you will bear fruit. Where's your roots? Let us pray. Lord Jesus, God Almighty, we thank you for who you are. Lord, we ask that we become deeper rooted in you, that the fruit that we bear resembles you. Your grace your peace, your patience, your love. Allow us to be that thing that the young generation needs to overcome. Lord, allow us to bring back some of the authenticity to the church. Lord, we know that it's okay for us to come as we are. But Lord, we pray that we leave better than we came. Lord, I ask that you soften the hardened hearts in this place. I ask that you strengthen the weak at heart and those who are in need of you. Lord, we pray for this congregation. We pray for this community. We pray for this city. We pray for this state, for this country. Make yourself known in everything that we do. And it is your name that we pray. Amen. If you find yourself today not knowing where your roots are, I can tell you this. There's no better place to put your roots than Jesus Christ. If you have some concern on your heart that you want to pray about, if you have a burden that you want to have lift up off of you, I'm here in the front. Where's your roots?